Today on The Breakdown, we can't stop ourselves. The tidal wave has come and it's crashed among us. The biggest pot in televised and streamed poker history will be broken down today by two enterprising poker guys. That's right, it's Tom Dwan against Wesley from the Million Dollar Game at Hustler Casino Live, where Wesley went for it in what is kind of a legendary way. And Tom Dwan held on like he was Rose in the Titanic, man. Not really letting Jack crawl on that really big wooden. I'm just saying. Although, let's not get into it. So, if you don't know what I'm talking about, yes, Hustler had this game recently. They had several days. $1 million buy-in for the... so it's cash game, though. $1 million buy-in. And all the luminaries came out to play. And the first day or two, not a lot of action. Everyone's being all careful. But by the third and fourth day, oh my goodness, things really got a churning. Grant, things started to go. Butter was made, if you know what I'm saying. So anyway, we're going to talk about one of these spots where Dwan has one of the better hands he can have, give or take. But holy macaroni, all the pressure in the world is being levied on him. That's right, I use that word, levied on him. And we're going to get into it all right now on The Breakdown with Grant Dennison and Jonathan Levy.
Yeah, I mean, this hand is just, it's less complex than a lot of hands we've broken down, but that doesn't matter. The size of the pot actually does matter a little bit. I think it affects the mentality of both players and makes it all the more impressive that both of them ended up doing what they did. I think it's really cool. I'm really glad it happened. I think it's a good thing that poker can be in a place like this where in the biggest pot of all time, this is the type of hands that players had, which we will get to if you don't know what we're talking about. But it's really cool.
You would think at least one of them would have like a, I'm always getting it in here spot, right?
Yeah.
Like with their hand. And neither one does, as it turns out, for the biggest pot of all time. So like maybe one person's bluffing, the other guy's got an insta call or something like that. But you wouldn't think, you know, essentially a guy's going to have to hero call for his life and the other guy's bluffing, right?
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't think that's usually how that goes down for biggest pot.
So we're going to find out if it was okay, what these guys did. We're going to do our best to find out if it was okay.
Sounds great. I always want to know. I'm always asking myself that. Is it okay?
Yeah, you ask that every, it's like way too much.
But it's a good question.
Last time you went on a flight, you called me before it took off because you know it's not okay to call while the flight's going.
Right.
You've asked that one before.
Yeah.
But they gave you peanuts before the flight took off, which is not common. You're not used to that. Usually you get them mid-flight.
I don't know why they did it. I still don't.
Yeah, I know. But you called me. Yeah. You're like, Grant, is it okay for me to eat the peanuts?
Yeah.
Or do I have to wait till we're in the air? They just give it to me early. And I wait until the normal time. I'm going to guess it's somewhere like 40 minutes into the flight.
Like
that's when I can eat
it. When the seatbelt sign goes off.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's when generally you'd be able to eat stuff.
Right, right. Yeah. And I told you that it was not okay and that you had to wait.
But I didn't wait because I was a little peckish.
Yeah, and what happened?
I got in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, you did.
I'm not going to get into it because legally I'm not allowed to.
Right, it's pending litigation.
Let me just say the air marshal's identity was, he was forced to reveal himself on the flight. Okay?
Right.
So I should have listened. But that's why I'm constantly asking because I don't know.
But then you didn't follow the advice
that
you received.
I'm not always going to listen to you.
Why did you call me if you're not going to listen?
I mean, if you said the thing I wanted, if you said it was okay, I would have listened.
Right. You were looking for validation.
Sometimes I want to know what's okay, and sometimes I want to know that what I want is okay. It's a little different.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think you're probably wrong. So right. I also am listening for the confidence in your voice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, can I eat the peanuts? And you were like, you weren't like, do not eat the peanuts, right? You were like, you shouldn't. Don't eat the peanuts.
Yeah.
I would not recommend it. Think about, it's probably against aviation laws. I'm not an aviation lawyer, but I think you actually use that phrase, aviation lawyer.
Yeah, because I have such respect for aviation lawyers, I would never suppose to be one until I actually achieve it.
Well, you are working on it, in fairness.
It's a long road, man. lots of different aerodynamic law.
The fact that you have to go to a separate kind of law school, obviously, aviation law school, is remarkable. I didn't even know they existed until you started going.
It's actually based on Howard Hughes and his damn lobbyists, you know?
Yeah. Smart.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
But wow.
Yeah. I mean, eccentric.
In aviation law, on the first day, they say, look to your left, look to your right. You see those people? Only half of you half of one of you will still be here.
Yep.
By the time graduation comes around.
Yeah, because they don't like dealing with larger fractions. So, yeah, they're not good at math.
They're not going to say one out of every six of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they'd also want to be like, look, left, your left, look at three people. To your right, look at two people. Of the six of you, only one of you is going
to
make it.
But but everybody make sure to be looking at the same group of six. Because the overlap, we don't want there to be weird overlap stuff. Then we're getting into combinatorics, and that's not what we're doing here.
And we really want to be clear, of that group, only one of you.
Yeah.
Like, no matter, like, so if you have overlaps.
It's really too bad for you if you ended up in
there
a smart
could be groups
group.
Where,
in a
yeah.
smart group, yeah, yeah, that's too bad. You want to be with the dummies in this one.
Yeah.
In aviation law school.
It's all about who you sat next to. That's sometimes just the luck of the draw.
Yeah, that's the name of JFK's autobiography, I believe.
Luck of the draw? Wow.
Yeah, no.
It's
all about who
you sat insensitive. Oh, what? So who you sit next
to? There wasn't a draw when he was shot. He was shot by a rifle from far away. It's not like the guy was like in an old Western, like, oh. Pew, pew.
But wait, you said it's all who you sit next to, and he was sitting next to his wife when he got shot.
And so what do you mean?
So from her point of view, I guess it is all who you sit next to, right? She's like, boy, if I was sitting in that, if we were just sitting in the opposite seats, I'd be the dead
one. Right, because that person was always going to shoot in that spot. It's like lightning striking.
She must have thought that.
She had to. It's Jackie O. Of course she thought it. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
Yeah. So this is what happened when we did a podcast. We just started talking about that.
Yeah, you know, it's been biding its time for a long time.
Yeah, we had to talk about the peanuts.
The peanuts.
Yeah.
Aviation law.
All right.
Okay.
So, Tom Dwan, still alive, still doing it.
Still doing it. And here he is at Hustler Casino. And, you know, he is probably the most interesting and fun player to watch in cash. Is that just true overall?
I mean, he certainly was back in his heyday.
Is he still? Who's more interesting, I put to you?
Let's see. I mean, yeah, so you have to have the combination of both being skilled and a lot of action and interesting plays.
And still smart, too. Like, yeah. Smart plays, good plays. Not like I just give a lot of action.
Right, not like Nick Airball.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I guess in a way, I know that we disagree with a lot of his plays, but Matt Berkey at least has thought behind his plays and makes interesting plays.
I guess. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like it's harder to, the difference is, and maybe this is unfair, I'm sure some people would say it is, but when Tom Dwan makes a play, I'm giving it a lot more credit than I'm giving some of the plays I'm like surprised by, I mean,
yeah.
than Matt Berkey, right? And
yeah.
And as we've seen in the past, obviously, that's the way I often default to. So to me, Dwan's more interesting because I'm more like, why did Dwan do that? And I've done that with Berkey too, of course, but often my answer ended up being, I can't come up with any good reason,
yeah.
You know, and I don't know if there is a good reason.
Right.
You
know? Right.
I'm sure Berkey thinks there is, to be clear.
Yeah, anyway, let's just get to it, huh?
Okay.
All right, so this was suggested by Jay Recker, Mark Testat, Ovi Kenobi, Ben Page, and SciFighter, a who's who of suggestors.
Yes, indeed, they are.
On Twitter and Discord is where this was suggested.
They probably got their own little chat, like IM group, little texting group.
Well, there's only five of them,
yeah.
So I don't know if they can't go to aviation law school.
Oh, no. It's possible that none of them will make it.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
They're sitting next to each other. They need to make sure they're spread out in that audience.
Yeah, actually. That's the move.
Yeah.
Testar couldn't figure that out without you telling him.
Ouch.
Yeah. It's only because he's Australian, and space and time are different there. You know, it's hard to figure out, like, how far to sit away from somebody to be six away.
Would it be true that if space is different, then time is definitely different, too, like, automatically, and vice versa? If time is different, does that mean space has to be different?
None of that matters because time isn't a thing.
Time isn't a thing.
No.
How about the number zero? Is that a thing? Is zero real?
The number zero is real. The concept of nothingness is real. Actual nothingness is not. You've just been schooled.
Grant, look to your left.
I can't.
Look to your right.
I have a neck thing. I can't do it.
None of you are going to make it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was actually pretty good off the cuff zero thing, though. Come on, you gotta give me credit for that.
That's pretty good, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Champion over here.
Yeah.
Time is not real. Entropy is real. Time is not. Anyway, 500.
We can drill down in that some other time.
Some other entropy. You mean 500 1K with a 2K straddle and a 3K big blind ante. Of course, we're bringing out the big structure for the $1 million minimum buy-in game. It's cool that it happened. I'm glad that it happened. Good job, Hustler. No matter what your problems are, you put on cool games. Sometimes they're just spew fests.
Yeah.
So let's get to it. LSG Hank has a hand against Doug Polk that we're probably going to do at some point, by the way. He has $1.4 million in front of him, and he opens to $7,000 under the gun. Wesley, Crypto Apprenti, the guy who's making all sorts of waves recently, who buys into this game for $3 million, by the way.
Yes.
Just to be the big swinging guy around here.
There's going to be something that's going to come up with that. I guess I'm going to do it right now.
Sure.
So Wesley had been buying in for $3 million every day and taking a lot of heat for being insanely tight.
Huh.
Like, I actually saw him open to $2,000. Someone threw bet to $15,000. They're all, you know, at least $1 million deep, and Wesley just folds two sevens. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, that's awful.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
There's no good reason to fold two. Like, what are we hoping for here? You know, like, we're not going to see a flop with two sevens? Like,
he's just so afraid of getting set over set.
I mean, it seems like it. He's caught up with the reverse implied odds so much. So to the point where he was defending himself on Twitter during the $1 million game, you know, like on the off day and stuff like that, pushing back on saying he wasn't such a tight guy and all this kind of stuff. But clearly had been playing like very carefully with this $3 million stack, which is going to make all this even more interesting to me anyway.
Yeah, he's not usually the most careful player, but this is a different amount of money. Anyway, he's got Ace of Diamonds, King of Hearts, and something happens where Doug Polk, sitting directly to Wesley's left, sees Wesley's hand when Wesley looks at his hand and informs Wesley that he saw his hand.
The whole table. He tells the whole table. He
tells the whole table. And this is apparently going to play in later. I'm not exactly sure how.
Yeah.
Maybe we can figure something out. I'm not sure if we are or not. But there's a little bit of talk about it. Nothing is really revealed by either Wesley or Doug. Doug folds after Wesley three bets his ace-king to 30K. And Wesley gives Doug another look at the hand for whatever reason.
Doug doesn't ask, but Wesley, like, it sort of goes out of his way to push the cards to Doug. He has to go around all these big stacks to do it. And Doug's like, doesn't even really know why he's looking, but looks against like, yep, that's what I thought it was, and gives it back. And it's a strange moment.
Right. And I don't think Doug gives anything away.
No, I don't think so.
In that moment. And I don't necessarily think Wesley gives anything away, but maybe he does through his actions. But I don't know what you would be giving away with Ace King. What is it exactly that you're giving away?
I don't know either.
There's no difference in strength read on Ace King versus aces or sevens or something there. I don't feel. But
nothing obvious anyway.
Yeah, maybe we could ask Zach Elwood or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, Wesley with $2.8 million covering the table. Three bets to 30K with Ace of Diamonds, King of Hearts. I have two questions about this.
Okay.
Is this too small and is it too big?
Great stuff.
Thanks.
I don't think it's too small or too big. That's my initial thought. I think it's perfectly fine sized, like maybe just right sized. I don't think we want to make it super small, meaning like a 3X when we're this deep, right?
Yeah, because we are very, very deep.
We're very deep. At the same point, we're not going to make it 80K, right? Like, if Hank's going to call with some hands, he's calling with a bunch of hands on any reasonable sizing, right?
Because he's not Wesley. He's not going to fold sevens. Is that what you're telling me?
Right. He's definitely not going to fold sevens. He's going to call with a lot of stuff. Hank actually opens with, what was it?
I didn't even say. Ace-8.
Ace-8.
He's a garbage human.
He's ace-8 off, right? Yeah. This is a hand he actually probably is going to fold to 30K, right? I don't know if he's folding if we make it 21. It's 14 more. He's actually getting a reasonable price. He might take a flop anyway. He might even take a flop for 30K, but 30K feels like a good price to me, actually. I kind of like this sizing by Wesley. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's fine. I could see going bigger. I can't see going smaller.
Right.
Just because of the stack depth.
I mean, you could make it 28. But it feels like a 4X is mandatory at least, right?
Yeah. Right. Anyway, that's what he does. He has Ace of Diamonds, King of Hearts. It folds to Tom Dwan in the straddle. And he has two black queens.
Okay.
Although the audience doesn't know it till much later.
Yes.
And Dwan has $1.5 million in front of him as the effective stack. So he likely bought in for $1 million. He's probably up $500K, right?
That's probably right.
Yeah. And he decides to 4-bet to $75K. Discuss the decision to 4-bet and the sizing.
Yes. Very good. The sizing is, let's start with that, a little small-ish, right? It's 2.5X, and he's out of position. Like, he doesn't think he's going to get a... I wouldn't think I was getting a lot of folds from Wesley if I was Tom Dwan.
So the main purpose is to isolate, then.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Isolate, get some value and isolate, right? Fair enough. If we think Wesley isn't folding, if we make it, you know, 140K, which is sort of another sizing choice we could make, right? Wesley probably is folding, not this hand, but a bunch of hands for 140. But if we think Wesley's like got all this money and is going to be in position, is going to play a lot anyway, 75 is going to do a good job isolating too. It seems fine. If we think we're not getting a lot of folds, 75 seems just fine to get rid of the original.
Right, and he's probably not going 140 too often. Like, he's making a decision between 75 and 110, somewhere in that range.
I think you're probably right.
And if his main purpose is like, well, Wesley's going to have a call with a huge majority of his range here. Hank's going to have folds with the huge majority of his range to any of these sizes. So what's the point of going bigger when, like, I don't want to, like, force myself to end up all in preflop with queens, basically.
Right. There's also a path where, you know, Hank, who is under the gun, has a big hand too.
Right, right. And then he
decides to put the 5-bet and Wesley puts in a 6-bet.
And we're like, oh, good. We saved money.
We only put in 75, right? Yeah. Instead of putting in the 110, 120, whatever it is. Like, we got to save that extra money and still get kind of all the other things we were hoping to get. So this seems like reasonable sizing since we don't think we're taking it down preflop anyway.
Right. And something I've said on this podcast recently, but I'll say it again, especially when deep, the main purpose of 3-betting should not be like, I have a value hand. I'm trying to get value for my hand. It's isolation. That's usually the main purpose of 3-betting.
I mean, it's a combination of
right? it exponentially increases the size of the pot, or geometrically increases the size of the pot, but for later bets and stuff.
Yeah.
But the most immediate value of the 3-bet is not the extra money that goes in the pot right there. It is the isolation. Mm-hmm. And like Nolan Hold'em is much more easily played heads up, especially when you're a good player, right? If you're trying to navigate four ways, there's just too much guesswork no matter how good you are.
Right. Yeah, you can get a heads up, and especially against a range that you're really loving, right? You know, you're putting your 3-bet with king queen, getting called, you know, by worse kings and worse queens, even a lot of the time, and a lot of other weak ass hands, means you get to win a lot post flop.
Yeah,
in a lot of good ways. Yeah.
So anyway, Dwan makes it 75K.
Okay.
I haven't seen much of LSG Hank beyond this hand, but I'm annoyed at him because he tanks and like acts annoyed with ace eight for a while before folding.
I mean, maybe he's thinking about putting in the 4-bet, 5-bet, I mean, 5-bet. That's all it could be.
I just don't believe that.
I don't really either.
Yeah. So he's just being annoying, I guess. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe there's some other issue that I wasn't aware of that he was talking to the producers about. I don't know.
Maybe that eight was actually a queen and it was misread. I mean, I don't know, man. It seems hard to believe with ace eight off.
Yeah.
Is ace eight off?
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus, what's he even doing?
He's being a dick. Anyway, he folds.
Whatever.
He folds.
Okay.
All right. As Wesley, what is your favorite thing to do here?
I think I'd be pretty interested in calling most of the time.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that is nice about Dwan making it 75K for us is that we can be underrepped with ace-king by calling, even though it's a 4-bet pot. Dwan can assume that we have our entire 3-betting range still, almost it, at least. Maybe we have some really bad aces that we decided to 3-bet that will fold for 75K. Mm-hmm. But Dwan can assume that our range is pretty weak compared to his 4-betting range, and that's a nice spot to be in, especially if we get the ace or the king high flop.
It's such an amazing price to just sit back and call, right? It's 50, sorry, it's 45.
Yeah.
It's 45 to win 100 and like 12 right now. And we get to be in position with a hand that's a little underrepped, a little.
A little.
So that's a reasonable way to go. But let's talk about the possibility of a 5-bet also.
Well, I didn't watch this session of the game. And I think a huge factor in this is how much pre-flop re-raising has there been. Right? Like, is it common to see a 4-bet out of the big blind in this situation? Are people pouncing on the button 3-bet? Let's 4-bet a lot.
I didn't watch that much of this. I wasn't watching it live, but I saw a bunch of the hands, you know, later, all the big hands and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't think there was a huge amount of like 4-betting. I think there's a lot of 3-betting. I don't know if there was a huge amount of 4-betting.
Okay.
But the reason to do this in my mind isn't so much about should we 5-bet because Tom might be 4-betting light, as much as it would be, do I have 5-bets in my range here? Because if I have 5-bets for value, if I have aces and I'm going to 5-bet them, then I need to have some other hands I 5-bet also, right?
Yeah.
So what's a good hand to do that with? Ace-king is a reasonable hand to do that with.
We block aces and kings.
Yep.
Ace-king off, I prefer doing it with this hand versus ace-king suited because ace-king suited flops better. It's more comfortable to take a flop.
Plays better in position because of that. You're gonna have more ways to continue, more opportunities, maybe to steal later or make.
So there's more value with ace king off and taking the pot preflop than with ace king suited.
So this is a reasonable hand to decide to 5-bet if we're gonna 5-bet value also.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how much value we're really 5-betting. Are we 5-betting kings? Maybe we're so deep for so much money.
Right. If we 5-bet kings, are we gonna fold to a 6-bet? Seems unlikely.
I don't think at the same point, is Dwan ever 6-betting anything but aces?
Yeah, probably not.
So probably we are folding to a 6-bet.
So maybe the right play is to 5-bet kings and get perfect information even against a player like Dwan.
Okay.
Unless maybe we're underestimating Dwan because he is one of the best cash game players of all time.
Right. But probably he's not going to be doing that too often. With like Tom's six bet bluffing in this game seems against a group of people he doesn't play that much with, even seems relatively unlikely, right? Yeah. I think we shouldn't be worried about that piece of it. So yeah, so we should probably be five betting at least to some frequency aces, kings, ace king to some degree as a quote lighter side hand.
Maybe a little bit of ace wheel suited.
And then a little bit of ace wheel
suited. But it's really hard to pull the trigger on that in the $1 million game where the five bet is over a 75K four bet.
Right. But if we're trying to do it right, we probably have to have a little bit of like ace five suited in there too. And that's probably all we need. A little, and all these things we're also going to flat with sometimes, all those hands, instead of put in the five bet. So, but we want to be able to threaten that, right? Otherwise, Tom can four bet with a little too much impunity when we're still deep enough. If we had aces or kings, we might want to shrink the SPR a bit there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So Wesley decides to five bet.
Okay.
Seems fine. And I think I do prefer ace king off to ace king suited for this.
I think both are fine.
Yeah. They're both fine, but I have a slight,
but I hear you.
Slight preference.
Sure.
He goes pretty big. He really does want that fold equity. He five bets to 275K.
He's trying to say, like, Tom, like, if you had two tens, if you have ace queen, even if you have ace king, you might just have to fold right now.
Yeah.
Bro. Like, you can't really just call with these hands.
Unless Wesley's clicking buttons, the sizing tells me that there has not been a lot of four betting in this game, and that Wesley wants to make it a size that will actually fold out some of Dwan's four betting range, which Wesley does not believe contains many bluffs.
Right. This is a humongous sizing considering Tom starts with 1.5 million, right? To make it 275.
Yeah,
like
we've
Tom
really
calls,
shrunk the SPR.
Right. Tom calls, there's like 570,000 in there, and he's got, what, 1.2 left. I mean, we're at like 2.2 to 1 SPR. Like, wow.
Yeah, it becomes very serious. And this is an immediately uncomfortable situation for Dwan, right?
Yes.
He's like, well, fuck, this isn't what I wanted to happen with queens for $275K.
It's $200,000 more now, right?
Can you fold?
Against certain players, you can fold.
Yes, I agree.
Can you fold against Wesley?
Well, if he's playing the way you described earlier on, maybe so. If he's playing like this big knit.
Right. We'd also have to know that he's playing that as Dwan. Dwan's flown in for this last day. He hasn't been around any of the earlier days. It's possible he has no sense that Wesley's been playing super tight with this $3 million stack. And if he doesn't, like, if Wesley knows that everyone thinks that about him, it makes me like this five bet a lot, actually. Like, a lot more. Mm-hmm. Because he's, like, playing against his image in a really beautiful way. But if Dwan has no sense of that image, eesh, that is less effective.
Yep. This is obviously a different situation, but there are very few players that I would actually continue against a five bet in our 2K max 5-5 game that we play locally. Like with queens, I'd be like, okay, I lose, except against a few players.
There's some people, of course, you're not going to fold to, right? But yeah, of course. Like anytime someone five bets, there's only a few players who are ever five betting without the goods, right?
Right.
The goods is not queens.
No.
Like they don't five bet with queens usually because queens are not usually good when you get it all in and someone is five bet.
I mean, there's
bet.
Good reasons not to five bet queens. Yeah.
You know, the wider people get preflop with 4 and 5 bets, fair enough. Then queens become a never fold spot. Fair enough. And there's certain players you can just never fold queens to.
Yeah.
No matter how deep you are. And it can be like, okay, here we go. This is a lot of money, but so be it. But everyone else, you know, you got to know who your customer is here. So I don't know if Dwan knows that Wes has been playing super tight.
So is a 6-bet off the table, I guess?
I think it has to be.
Yeah. Queens is not as good as ace king to 6-bet.
By a mile. I don't think we're six betting ace king. Anyway.
I don't think so, but if I had to pick one, yes. I'd definitely pick ace king, blocking aces and kings, and sometimes we can get it in against kings and actually have 30%.
Have three outs instead of two, right? It's like a much better, and actually, it's even better than that because if we hit our ace, there's only one king left in the deck for him to hit instead of two.
Right.
It's way better to get it in with ace king instead of queens there.
Yeah. So kings. I think, okay, so six betting's off the table.
Yeah.
Folding seems like plan A against Gen Pop, but Wesley, I don't know, he's a bit erratic. It's hard to know. It's also, this game is playing different than Gen Pop, of course.
And the game has been a little crazier today than it's been. It's been tight, you know, and it started to loosen up, and then tonight it's been looser. And it's also possible, you know, Dwan is used to playing in $1 million games, right? Like, more so than any of these guys. Dwan plays in the biggest cash games in the world, I assume, in Macau, right? Like Dwan talks about how he's played... Dwan's biggest pot he's ever won in his life is $9 million, right?
Really?
Yeah. Because they asked him after this, like, what's the biggest pot you've ever won? And, you know, how many pots have you won bigger than this in your life? And he said they could guess how many pots it was, and he'd sort of give them a sense. And I think they guessed, like, 6 pots were bigger, and he's like, that's really close. Hmm. So, like, he's played a lot. So he's more comfortable at these stakes than probably anyone else at the table, I would think. And playing for, like, someone who's put in a 5-bet for $275,000, and, like, when you've got queens, he's been there. Unlike almost anybody else who really, like Wesley's probably literally never been in that spot in his life, right? Juwan's probably seen it like 6 times and seen other people be in the same spot a bunch of times, you know? So he's actually thought about all these things and prepped these things and have plans for these things in ways that these other guys don't. Even though it should be the same because it's just blind, I think once you get to this amounts of money, for a lot of people it isn't. You know, it's not just people.
I mean, it would be very hard for me to think of it as just blinds.
Right. Once the money is a little like, is really going to be a big deal to lose, it's hard to think of it as just blinds, right? When you can think of it as blinds, you're going to make the best decisions, of course.
Yeah.
And I think Juwan is really good at that and has also won a lot of money. So he's, so like this $200,000, while it's a lot, is still just $200,000 from his point of view.
Yeah.
So I think he's just not folding in this game very much unless the guy is super tight, is my guess.
So he calls.
He calls.
Pot's 562,000.
Yeah. My goodness.
You could win a pot this size on Nitro betting if Bitcoin goes way, way, way up.
Way up.
Yeah.
Or you just put a lot of Bitcoin on there and someone else does too and you get it in.
Yeah, you just do it. You just do it. I mean,
you don't need Bitcoin to go up.
It is technically possible.
Just be wealthy already and be against a wealthy opponent and gamble.
Stop being an idiot about it. Just do it.
People say, how do I win a $3 million pot? The answer is, you know, play a $3 million pot, dummies.
On Nitro betting.
On Nitro betting.
Use the link in the description when you sign up. And if you played a $3 million pot, that'd be great for us.
Yeah, it would be really good.
There's the monthly Poker Guys tournament that you only get access to if you use that link. There is also special promotions in the sports betting that happen pretty frequently. They're always fun. And of course, there's tons of sports betting to do on Nitro betting.
My
it's
goodness.
Called Nitro betting, you idiots.
So true.
I can't believe that you didn't figure that one out. You thought, there's no betting on that site, probably.
And you're like,
it's probably about nitrogen.
No,
the molecular makeup of nitrogen.
The molecule?
Said the molecular
but
makeup.
But you were going to say molecule.
I was maybe going to say molecule, but I didn't say it.
It's an element.
Elements have molecules.
Oh my God, Grant. So
and atoms and quarks.
So I just want to say to all you naysayers out there who are like, bet on sports. But what sports would I even bet on? Well, if the NBA finals either finished or nearly ending, by the way, if it's not over, there's some right there.
No, there'll be plenty of finals left when this comes out.
Oh, even better. Well, get
it's
on
coming
that.
Out tomorrow from,
really?
From Jonathan and Grant's perspective.
Oh, well, my gosh, there's so much NBA finals left then. Get in there. But also, there's baseball. Every day there's baseball.
Which
and,
is, to some people, a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care, but if
golf?
You bet, I'll say if you bet on it, it's more fun.
There's
golf.
They all just merged. It just became a huge,
oh my goodness,
murderous golfing triumvirate.
Yeah. There's all the other sports, and of course, the NFL is coming. The NFL is coming.
I mean,
so get out there, man.
It's June.
I know. August preseason starts in August.
Yeah, you could bet preseason games. You can.
Well, you can also bet like NFL futures and stuff. You know, like
you can.
Who's going to win the title? Who's going to win their division? Over-unders on the regular season. All that stuff.
Did you just become like a pizza guy?
Over-unders on the regular season. Put some mozzarella on your regular season. Yeah, I did. Yeah. I became an Italian guy.
Yeah.
Just like you. We're two Italians doing poker podcasting. It's
that
beautiful.
Should be the name of the show. You're 0% Italian and I'm a quarter Italian. And that's what we should call it.
Look to your left. Look to your right. One quarter of you will be Italian by the end of this podcast.
Congratulations. You're going to make an excellent calzone.
Oh, I love calzones.
No, you're supposed to catch that. If you're gonna, you're supposed to say calzone.
It's a calzone. You're right.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you fucked up.
I was trying not to be a reductive person about Italians.
Italians don't care about that.
They don't.
No, you should know that.
They care much more about the pasta and Mario.
They care about if you're being derivative, but
reductive's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
good.
Yeah, you should know that. You should definitely know.
I'm
that.
Learning.
Even
I'm
not learning. As an Italian, you should know that.
Is it okay?
No, it's not okay. All right, so we have a $562,000 5-bet pot.
Woo!
Wesley has ace-king off, ace of diamonds, king of hearts. Tom Juwan has 2 black queens.
Okay.
The flop is 3 of diamonds, 8 of spades, 8 of diamonds, which is both a dream and a nightmare for Tom Juwan, right? Because he's like, okay, I know what I'm supposed to do here, but also this could really hurt. This could really, really hurt.
I mean, you know, you say... It's a it's a good flop for me. And if I'm against aces and kings, it's a good flop for him too.
Yeah, and we can both win because we both got a good flop.
Maybe he has queens like I do and we could chop it.
That would be so friendly.
That's possible.
There's all that Hank money, that 7K that he agonized over.
Tasty.
Yeah.
What?
Tasty.
Tasty.
Yeah, it's a cannoli. It's a nice cannoli of a flop. All right, so there are two diamonds out there. Is that relevant to Wesley having the ace of diamonds? Do you think that matters to him?
I think it matters a little bit in that it actually should kill a little bit of Tom's continues, right? It should give us a little more reason to want to bet. Also, of course, it gives us some bailouts. Like we can go runner diamonds sometimes. We can pick up good equity on the turn with a diamond, give us more reason to barrel.
It's too bad we made the SPR so small. That would matter more if it were bigger.
Agreed. But I think having the ace of diamonds is great because it means Tom doesn't have ace, queen of diamonds, ace, jack of diamonds, even ace, king of diamonds. That's just like out. Those are like a big part of his continuing range, right?
Yeah.
So maybe other ace X of diamonds, maybe even ace 10 of diamonds, maybe. No, he just folds that. Probably ace jack of diamonds.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's going to
maybe
fold
even ace
those.
Queen of diamonds for 275.
Yeah, he's probably folding.
Okay, so it just knocks out
it's
ace.
One combo.
Ace king of diamonds. But okay, still.
Yeah.
It's better than not knocking it out.
Yep.
And like we said, we can go runner, or at least even just hitting the first one on the turn gives us a great opportunity to put pressure on him with more equity.
And this is not a bad flop for Wesley overall in that Dwan never has a 3 or an 8 in his hand. It's basically impossible.
I mean, what are we putting Dwan on when Dwan calls here?
He either has the same hand or he has jacks plus most of the time.
He might be able to have tens. No, he probably even folds tens for 200K more, right? But it feels like he's not folding jacks.
Right. So it's a double-edged sword in that it kind of sucks that he has a lot of hands that like this flop.
Yeah.
But we also block the best of those hands. And we have a range advantage. So we probably have to go for it on a board like this.
I think we're supposed to continue for sure. It'd be weird to do all this and just give up when Dwan could have unpaired hands and just be screwed, right?
Right.
He could have ace king and maybe ace queen sometimes.
And I think neither player really ever has an eight.
Oh, I don't see how.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Wesley could have an eight. Dwan never has an eight. It's impossible for Dwan to have
an eight. If Wesley's been playing tight, he probably doesn't have an eight.
Right.
LSG Hank had an eight.
I will say this.
Maybe that's why he took so long to fold.
Oh, LSG Hank, you must be burning inside right now, my man. Burning. Later on in the same session, Wesley is going to 5-bet with ace-7 suited. So just FYI. So like, maybe Wesley even could have an 8 sometimes.
If anybody has an 8, it's Wesley. Let's put it that way.
But I don't think we're worried about that too much.
It's pretty rare. Right. Yeah, we're much more worried about aces and kings.
Right.
Which are going to feel comfortable going for 3 streets against... us on this
kind of board, if the board stays safe. At the same point, I want to say this. Tom can have aces and kings too.
Of course.
Tom is not always going to 6-bet those fuckers, right?
Yeah,
By no means. In fact, with kings, I don't know what the value in 6-betting them is, except to like just take down the pot right now sometimes, right? Like
To make sure you don't get sucked out on by ace king.
Right, or bluffed off like by queens on a weird, or some other weird hand. Jack 10 suited on an ace high board maybe.
Yeah.
But that's it, right? So if he's doing that, I imagine Tom is sometimes maybe flatting. He may not have a 6-bet range because it's so rare to get 5-bet.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're not that deep
anymore. If he doesn't have a 6-bet range, then I guess Wesley does not have a range advantage.
He does not. That's right.
But if he does have a 6-bet range, then Wesley has a slight range
advantage. In fact, I would say if Tom doesn't have a 6-bet range, Dwan clearly has a range advantage because Wesley can have bluffs and Tom really can't.
Yeah, okay.
That's interesting. But still, Wesley has to continue here. Right? It seems crazy just to give up.
I mean, he's got to rep aces.
Dwan could have the same hand, and we don't want to lose this pot to the same hand. We can win this pot against the same hand. We've got the initiative.
Like I said, though, it really does suck how little fold equity it feels like Wesley has. Like you have to start telling a story, though.
Exactly.
If you're going to 5-bet this hand pre-flop and you get a flop like this, you have to start telling a story. This is one of those spots where if you don't end up going for it, even though it can be very financially painful to go for it, why did you 5-bet in the first place?
Right. I mean, you 5-bet to win.
Right.
But we bet it so much. There's so much money out there. It seems absurd. If Dwan also has ace king, why would we let him win this pot?
Right.
Or chop it with him even when we can just win it most of the time. I agree. It's time to just start telling a really good story. Let's do it.
Yeah, and I like what Wesley does, which is bet small.
Yep.
125 into 562, that should get the job done. I would be a little afraid to go smaller than that because there's going to be like, I'm worried that Dwan could have like the backdoor flush draw with ace king of spades and call in spots like that. Like, I just don't want to run into those spots.
Yeah.
So let's make it big enough that he's not going to do that type of stuff.
But 125 feels like a perfectly fine down bet size here where we have aces and we have kings a lot. We're going to down bet in. Say, come along if you want, buddy. Sounds good to me. That's a great flop for me.
And this is a pretty straightforward situation for Dwan. I mean, you can't do anything but call. Everything in your gut hurts and it sucks, and you know that the pain is coming, whether or not you end up winning or losing the pot. The mental pain is likely coming.
Not necessarily. Wesley could give up sometimes.
He could.
Even if he has this beat, he may not always put in all the money. You know, he may like check the turn sometimes because this is a huge pot already, right?
I mean, if it's a low card, why would you ever check the turn if you had aces?
Can't imagine. Well, not aces, but if you have kings, you might sometimes check a little bit.
Maybe.
Also, an ace could come on the turn and it could kill all the action and stuff like that. Things can happen.
So Dwan calls.
Yeah.
That I can't see any
feels like you have to.
You do. You do. It's and we wouldn't even be considering folding if the stakes were different.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
$812,000 in the pot. We're already approaching probably one of the top 15 televised poker hands of all time, size-wise.
Yeah.
The turn is the five of hearts. It's just another card set up to make these guys go nuts, right?
I mean, it's super blank. Super blank.
So Dwan has essentially declared what he has, right? He's got an overpair of some type.
I will say this. So, well, I'll wait before I say this. Never mind. I have a thing to say about Dwan's hand, but I'll wait till the river.
Okay.
Okay, but it's yes. It seems very clear when Dwan calls here. Like you said, he's down to either an overpair or the ace king of backdoor flush.
Yeah.
Those are the only things it feels like he can even have.
Right. He does not have a diamond draw. We know this is Wesley with the ace of diamonds on our hand. There's no diamond draw in Dwan's range. So,
wow. What a deal for us. If a diamond comes off, we can bet with like impunity. We can effectively move in, and what can Dwan do?
Yep.
It's so hard.
See, there's some value in the ace of diamonds here in that if we had the nut flush draw, we would keep betting on the turn, I imagine.
I think so.
So we have to rep both aces and the nut flush draw, whatever we want to rep by the time the river comes.
So we can have ace, king of diamonds, or we can have ace, ace, or we can have king, king, and it's all fine.
Yeah. So Dwan checks, because what the hell else are you going to do?
Right.
Again, it's 3-8-8-5 with two diamonds. Wesley bets 350 into 812.
Okay, so it's getting a little more serious. It's less than half the pot.
Yes, but it's going to leave
a big chunk of money.
If Dwan calls, the SPR is going to be 1-2.
Yeah.
So that's a reason to bet this size. That's
I like it. He's setting up. He's trying to tell a story, right?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm betting small enough so I can set you up for a jam on the river that
you aren't going to auto call.
But you're going to be getting a pretty good price for your queens. Do you really want to put yourself in that situation, sucker? You know, it's cool. It's a cool bet size. It feels very serious. This whole hand feels very serious.
Of course it does. All right. Do we start to consider the fold now as Dwan?
I think we have to consider the fold.
Yeah.
Like, one thing we have to ask ourselves, which Dwan knows more than we do, is how often do we actually have aces and kings here?
Yes, that would be great to know.
Because if we never have aces and kings here, we got to keep going a lot.
We do.
Unless we're sure Wesley always has it, but clearly he doesn't, so...
Yeah.
Fine.
And I think we can talk about the thing that I think you're going to talk about.
Okay.
Now. We can start talking about that.
What is that?
That Dwan has two black queens. We do not block the nut flush draw.
That is actually not what I was going to talk about, but it's cool. What I was going to say is this. Even on the turn, so Dwan ends up not folding.
Yeah.
Not surprised. So Dwan's going to end up calling. I was watching this live, this hand specifically, because I was at our poker club and they were showing this, right? This hand as it was going on, because they just had the game up, the Hustler game up. And Dwan's cards, you can't see his hand. Like, for some reason, the card reader didn't pick up his cards, right? When Dwan calls the turn, a bunch of people were watching. They were speculating on what Dwan had. I just said, Dwan 100% of the time has queens here. Like, he never has any other hand but queens. It's always queens.
Huh.
It's 100%. It was beyond obvious to me that he had to have queens there. And maybe part of it was, like, the pain in his face as he's, like, trying to call the turn, perhaps. Like, it didn't feel like he had aces and kings and was like, I'm going to let this guy do his thing. It felt like he was genuinely not sure what the fuck to do because, oh my God, this is probably going to get jammed on me on the river if I call this. And am I going to call fold? Am I going to just fold? Like, felt like it, and based on the preflop action, it just felt like it had to be queens.
Okay.
So we're talking about, like, it seems pretty clear what Dwan has. I think Wesley's got to know what Dwan has too.
Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of always queens, right?
Yeah.
Unless Dwan can really have aces and kings and be slow playing them pre, which he's got to be able to do a little bit, but I don't know how much.
He does have to do it a little bit. Anyway.
So here we are on the turn.
Dwan calls.
Should he call?
Yes, without the queen of diamonds, he should.
He doesn't have the queen of diamonds, and probably this is mostly the best hand he has. He's got a little bit of aces and kings, but not very much of them, right?
Yeah, so I think from a theory perspective, you have to call from distribution. You also, blocking ace, queen of diamonds is a big deal.
Right. So, like, yeah, we want to, like, if we had the queen of diamonds in our hand, we can fold a lot more of the time, yeah. right? And those are the queens we fold, and the non-diamond queens are the queens we call with, yeah. essentially, for the turn.
Seems like.
Makes sense.
Yep. So the pot's over $1.5 million.
Okay.
And the river does not help anybody make an easier decision. It's the six of clubs.
Seven, nine comes in.
Yeah, meaninglessly, some straights come in.
Pocket sixes come yeah, in. I mean, right, whatever.
It never matters.
I mean, I guess Wesley can have some of these weird hands in theory, but
probably whatever. Not that often.
Probably not that yeah. often. I don't think we have to worry
Diamonds
about
Diamonds miss, crucially.
Yes.
Dwan checks, because what the hell? Like, there's no point in trying to get Jax to call a shove.
Oh, my God.
Jax is going to check back.
No, no way. Jax are never putting another dollar in this pot, yeah. essentially.
Right. right.
Unless they're like, I hope you have ace, queen of diamonds.
yeah.
Like, whatever.
So Dwan checks. He's got 786K back.
Great.
This is a big moment for Wesley.
Yes.
Do you go for it or not? He set it up the whole way, but that doesn't mean he has to
we
go for it.
We don't have to pull the trigger here. Okay, if a diamond came, we're 100% going for it.
Yes, absolutely.
If we go for it on this card, what card? Like, we can't go for it on every card, right? We can't always go for it, can we? Can we just always pull the trigger just because?
Having the ace of diamonds is now bad.
Right.
That's a reason not to go for it.
That is now a reason not to go for it. It's true.
Right, because in another world where we didn't have the ace of diamonds, it would be possible for Dwan to have the ace, king of diamonds, and that's a hand he would...
And be playing it carefully.
And he would auto-fold like, that on the river.
Right.
So we removed his auto fold. The one auto fold in his range
right.
does not exist.
That's correct. So now it's essentially queen, queen. Maybe it's maybe a little bit of jack, jack once in a while. Maybe two black jacks he'd rather have than call with the queen of diamonds yeah. in his hand. So
and,
maybe once in a while.
And some kings and some aces.
And a little bit of kings and a little bit of aces.
Yeah.
But we block that and he has that less anyway. So the question is, but mostly it's queens. I think Wesley, it was so clear to me. I got to think, Wesley, it was pretty clear to him, too, that Dwan mostly has queens here, right, based on the action of the hand.
Having the ace of diamonds does mean that we remove the auto fold from Dwan's range.
Yep.
It also means we know for sure that we lose if we check back. We're not chopping.
Right.
We are losing.
Right. Because yeah. Dwan's never calling the turn without the nut flush draw.
Yeah. 100% losing if we check back.
Right.
That's not necessarily a reason to go for it if we don't have enough fold equity.
Well, let's ask ourselves, okay... If we shove, we'd be shoving for... Dwan has $786,000 in front of him. There's $1.5 million in the pot.
So he'll be getting 3-1.
Well, I wasn't thinking about that. That's true. And that's important to think about. What are we getting on our bluff, though? We're almost getting 2-1 on our bluff. A little less, right?
Yeah.
So we don't need... If Dwan doesn't have to fold that often for this to be a good bluff...
I mean, yes.
Like, if Dwan folds 40% of the time, we're making money. We're making good money.
Yeah.
So that's important, too. Like... He can call more than half the time, and this is a good play. As long as he doesn't call most of the time. It's a good play to yeah. shove. The question is, can we actually get him to fold two queens? In real life, will he actually fold two queens
the
if we
shove?
The
other question is he going to snap call with aces a lot of the time?
Yeah, he's certainly going to snap call with aces, yeah. and he's going to find a call with kings ultimately, yeah. right? He's going to hate it and find a call, I think.
Oh, and we just don't know how many combos he has of that. We know there's only three remaining of each because we have ace king, so that's nice.
I mean, maybe if Dwan has two red kings, maybe he finds a fold. Maybe a little bit.
Maybe.
Sometimes.
Maybe he'd prefer two black queens to two
I don't
red
know.
Kings.
He's like, I can beat two queens, and maybe Wesley plays two queens like this a little bit. Maybe.
I can't maybe. Ever imagine that Wesley would shove two queens on the river.
It seems so bad. Now you're like, please have jacks. But when you can check it back,
yeah.
if he's out of position, it makes way more sense to shove the queens, right? Because aces and kings are going to get value against you either way. But when he checks to you, you get to check back and not lose that. Last $800,000.
All right. Yeah. So Wesley moves in. I think he's not supposed to because he has the ace of diamonds.
I think
it's fine to do it with any other ace king combo right. that doesn't have the ace of diamonds. So not any other ace king combo, but the ace king combos that don't have the ace of diamonds.
I mean, it still only keeps one combo alive in there, but at least it's there versus it's it can't.
But if
it
we're gonna
exist.
If we're gonna make these decisions right. somehow, that's one yeah. way to do it.
That's fair. That's fair.
So I think if we're gonna wean some hands away from this situation, I think it should be ace king with the ace of diamonds.
But okay.
I understand why he goes for it, which he does. He moves in.
Or the also, and it could be ace king with the king of diamonds, too. That's another one, because it also eliminates ace
yeah,
king
that's
of
true.
Diamonds. So either one of those
probably shouldn't go for
should be checkbacks.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So, but then we can go for it with our other ace kings, and which is going to be a fair amount of them, of course, and then that should probably be our only bluffs.
Yeah, I think so.
Because we're like, at least we block aces and kings, and we unblock the ace king of diamonds, and maybe if we're super lucky, the ace queen of diamonds, which doesn't seem possible, but maybe... And yeah, but mostly the question remains, will Tom Dwan actually fold queens? Because that's really the question that's going to be in the air, right? Most of the time, that's what Dwan would have to answer if we move in, no matter what.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this.
Okay.
Is Wesley only repping aces?
Can Wesley have kings and move in here? I think he can have kings and move in.
But will he? I think in this situation, in a pot this size, a lot of players are just going to check back kings.
Yeah, you might be right. That's a great question. That's a great question. He's probably supposed to move in with kings.
Yes.
Because Dwan doesn't have that many combos of aces, has all the combos of queens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe if we have the king of diamonds in our hand, we're supposed to move in a little more. It doesn't matter, actually. That doesn't change anything for this. Oh, no, it does.
It does.
It does, because it means Dwan never has ace, king of diamonds. But it just, but it, for the hands that would consider calling, it's all the same, right?
Yeah.
And so practically for us, it's really the same. You're right. It's not clear that he's even going to move in with kings. Like, the pot is humongous. You would hate to move in and get snapped, right? Dwan's like, I have aces, I call.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, that's $800,000 I didn't have to burn on the river, right?
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. So maybe you're right. Maybe if he's only repping aces. Ooh, interesting.
All right, so his value's only aces, and Dwan unblocks the most reasonable bluffs that got here this way, which are
Ace-X of diamonds.
Ace-X of diamonds, so he doesn't have a diamond in his hand.
Right.
Those are reasons to call, but damn, it is scary as hell, and most players are not bluffing in this spot ever, 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 ever.
Right.
And which is why I think Dwan is torn and goes into like a seven-hour tank, because it's I think from theory perspective, getting 3-1, he's like, this hand is supposed to be a call.
Right.
But from real life, like the amount of money involved perspective, like is this guy ever actually bluffing? It feels really shitty. You feel like such an idiot when he turns over aces, and you're like, of course he had aces. He always has aces.
Well, we're getting almost 3-1, so we only have to be right like 27% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
There was that weird thing that happened at the beginning of the hand with Doug Polk, where we might have to sit back and think, like, do we think it matters? Is there any possibility? And I know Dwan talked about later that he did consider that. So he's thinking about this piece and all this long tank of like when he showed that to Doug and the way he showed it to Doug and all that. Is it less likely that he would do that with aces than with ace king? Right? That's the or kings, I guess we can.
If I were to make an assumption personally on that, it would be pure guesswork.
I feel like it would be for me too.
Yeah.
I would not actually know that it was any more likely
right.
one or the other because they're all strong. Yeah. By the way, Wesley can have hands besides ace king that are bluffs. We're only counting it. He could have ace five of not ace five. He could have ace x of diamonds, right?
Yeah.
And be going bet, shove.
Yeah.
And be for the same reasons. It's just he doesn't have the king blockeries, but he had the diamond draw the whole way, and so he went for it, right?
Yep.
If we understand that Wesley can do it with just the naked ace of diamonds, this kind of a play.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hello, Dolly. Like, because that means he can shove the river with a fair amount of impunity on any diamond on turn and river, essentially. He can put in a big bet or shove, actually, on either street. That gives us a reasonable amount of combos here, right, to call with, if we think he's actually going to shove those hands on the river.
Dwan is one of the most equipped people to handle this situation.
Yep.
Because he plays, like you said, this might be the sixth biggest pot he's ever played, even though it's the biggest live stream pot ever.
Right.
So he understands better than most the way that people adjust based on the stakes being astronomical.
Yeah.
And that's a huge factor beyond just the general poker theory, right?
Yeah. By the way, I know I said Dwan won a $9 million pot. I just realized that's Andrew Roble who won the $9 million pot. Dwan did say, though, he's played like six or seven pots, something like that, bigger than this.
Okay.
So still, he's lived this life, unlike almost anyone else in the world
right.
who's been here.
Because I would be there thinking like, okay, this is an unprecedented situation.
Right.
I have no idea how Wesley's going to act in this situation. I know what the theory tells me, but my gut tells me that he's value heavy because of the dollar amount involved here.
Also, he 5-bet pre and went bet. I mean, in our experience, there's very few people who do that and don't absolutely have it, right?
Yeah.
They're just, and you know who those people are who don't have it, and you play them differently, and everyone else you treat like they have aces because they do.
Right.
So it's an interesting spot for Dwan also because he's a famous guy.
Yeah.
He plays a lot of big money poker. This is getting streamed out to everyone. Everyone gets to see this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if he folds and he's wrong, actually, by the way, if he folds either way, people might be like, oh, Dwan's willing to fold queens if we push hard enough at him, right? Like,
yeah.
There may be some value, some metagame stuff for him specifically to hold on here.
I don't think
to be like, don't bluff
Rui,
me, guys.
I don't think Rui Khao's slowing down because of this.
I think if he saw Dwan's willing to fold queens, he might speed up, though.
Maybe.
Not slow down. It's about everyone speeding up even more against you, where, like, you're just barely keeping a lid on things over here. Like, yeah. Everyone's losing their mind all the time. And if they see you're willing to fold queens, if you put enough pressure on you, like, queens on that kind of a board, the safest board in the world, essentially, like, that's problematic.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that plays into it a little bit for him, too, where he's like, it's almost like I'd rather lose the 800K and not fold and have everyone see that I'm holding on so that way I don't get bluffed out of $10 million over the next 3 years against these fucking guys who I play with all the time, you know? There
Maybe.
May be value in that. Besides that, I'm getting a good price, blah, blah, all these other... So if it's close, that may be a tipping point for him.
Yeah, that's a good point. And he does end up calling.
He does.
Which, I mean, at this point, I'm just... And I texted you when this hand happened, that I'm just impressed by both players. That
right.
They actually were ballsy enough to make each play that they made.
I agree.
That Wesley went for it and that Dwan actually called.
There's something really beautiful about Wesley's, like, complete dedication to telling a good story here.
Yeah.
And agreed completely that he shouldn't do this with the ace of diamonds in his hand. He should be giving up on the river, specifically with the ace of diamonds. But, I mean, in the moment, number one, I can see why you're like, you
there's
know,
a lot of money out there.
You might not even think about it because there's so much other stuff happening, right? Because
yeah.
There's a lot of money and this is all happening. And number two, I've done this before. I'm like, well, these are the wrong cards to do this with, but I think it's going to work a lot.
Yeah,
I'm going to go for it anyway. Like, I don't need blockers. Phil Gaffine says blockers are both overrated and underrated, basically, in that, like, it's important to keep them in mind, but people also overrate their value.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, for when you're trying to decide to have some level of balance, sure, it's useful against certain players. But, like, going for it works a lot in poker. Like, a lot.
Yeah.
Right? And Dwan's hand is pretty face up, unless he turns over aces suddenly. But we block that, and it feels like he's got queens. And he does. And I don't know what queens are supposed to do when we move in. Like, we know what Tom Dwan did. But as Wesley, I don't know what we're... I don't know what they're supposed to do. So this is pretty amazing to watch him really go for it. And then to watch Tom go through all the permutations of pain and thoughtfulness and finally find the call and be right.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Cool hand.
It's one of those hands, too, where if he calls and Wesley turns over the aces, everyone's going to murder him. Now,
yeah.
Maybe he doesn't care about that.
No, he doesn't.
But still, he's going to get crushed where it's so obvious.
Yeah,
that
of course he has aces. He would never do this without aces.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, forever people would say that, you know. But Tom Dwan has played enough big pots that, and on TV and all the time and done stupid things many times on TV also, you know, whatever. Like, he doesn't have to worry about any of that. Like,
yeah.
He's past all that. It's pretty cool. So this is... In its own way, this is like a symphony of a hand.
It is. It's a cool hand.
Yeah.
Hey. First time, no rehearsal. I say fuck the second take. Not his baby scratching on vinyls until the record break. Mr. One Night is all I need. No second.